Christmas was yesterday, so let me first say Merry Christmas, and I sincerely hope that it was and is a very happy time for everyone listening. Christmas and the new year that closely follows it have a way of making people a lot more introspective than perhaps they are at other times of the year. There could be any number of reasons for that, ranging from it's simply something ingrained in our culture, to the stronger focus on family and good works, to the promise of a fresh start with a new year. It's also a time of year that can be fairly steeped in traditions of different sorts, and I think maybe that's one of the many charms of the season. I guess to some degree that can be said of many holidays. Holidays just seem to lend themselves to traditions, from Easter egg hunting to 4th of July fireworks displays to the Thanksgiving turkey. For what it's worth, the word tradition comes from a Latin word that means to hand over something for the purpose of safekeeping. We hand down things that have symbolic meaning or special significance. Thinking that perhaps people around the area might be in a somewhat more introspective state of mind, I thought today we could consider the idea of traditions. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Christmas, as we know and recognize it today, actually dates back to the mid-1800s. Today, it is likely the most celebrated holiday in the world, and in its modern form, it has been shaped by hundreds of years of secular and religious traditions from cultures around the world. While there is some overlap within similar cultures, there are also many differences. When I think of Christmas around Bristol Bay, I think of Christmas a couple of ways. The one we have in December, with Santa and trees and presents and outdoor Christmas lights, and also Russian Christmas, with starring and large groups going home to home. Again, so very many traditions. So what are some traditions you might see if you ventured to other countries? If you traveled to the Scandinavian countries, for example, you would find that most people pay tribute to St. Lucia on December 13th, and this kind of kicks off the holiday season. Why St. Lucia? St. Lucia lived during the 4th century when persecution of Christians was a common thing. Unfortunately, most of her story has been lost to time, but according to one popular telling, Lucia lost her eyes while being tortured by Diocletian for her Christian beliefs. She is, by the way, the patron saint of the blind. Light is a main theme of St. Lucia's day, as her name in Latin means light. Her feast day is celebrated on or near winter solstice, when we turn the corner and the sun's light begins to lengthen. Many of the other traditions at this time of year involve light because of Lucia. Again, referring to Scandinavian countries, families are awakened and meals are eaten in rooms brightly lit with candles. Historically, hunting and fishing done on St. Lucia's Day was done by torchlight, and homes were illuminated brightly. Nighttime parades were held, also featuring torches, and the night would come to a close when everybody threw their torches onto a bonfire. In Finland today, one girl is chosen to serve as the symbolic national Lucia. She is honored in a parade in which she is surrounded by people with torches. There are other traditions as well. Let's go ahead and stay in the Scandinavian countries just a bit more. In Finland, it's traditional to visit the sauna on Christmas Eve. Also, families gather together and listen to the National Peace of Christmas radio broadcast. I'm going to guess that it's not unheard of that some families around here enjoy a Christmas steam bath, and while we don't have a specific program via radio broadcast, a lot of people do put on Christmas music or make use of our radio stations to listen to such music. Do you enjoy a nice warm fire in the fireplace as a part of your Christmas? Norway, the birthplace of the Yule log, could be why. Yule logs were used centuries ago in Norway as a part of their celebration of the return of the sun during winter solstice. In fact, the word Yule comes from a Norse word meaning wheel, because they believed that the sun was a great wheel of fire up in the sky. Historians trace an ice fire in the fireplace at Christmas time back to this tradition with Yule logs. And what about decorating trees? This is something pretty much everyone does. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but when was the last time you saw a naked Christmas tree, other than right after it's been placed in the living room? Some folks have a definite color theme they like to put together in decorating, and others are a little more garish and willy-nilly. If you have kids, your tree is likely closer to the latter in description. At any rate, have you ever wondered where that tradition started? It's quite possible we can trace that back to Germany, where Germans have decorated coniferous trees as a part of winter solstice for a long, long time. The first Christmas trees purposefully decorated and named after the Christian holiday appeared in the early 1600s in Strasbourg. 100 years later, Christmas trees began showing up all over Germany. By the late 1700s, trees really took off when popular writer Johann Wolfgang von Goethe was so struck by the trees during a visit to Strasbourg that he included a Christmas tree in his novel, The Suffering of Young Werther. By the early 1800s, German immigrants had brought the tradition to America, more specifically Pennsylvania. In 1840, Germany's Prince Albert married Queen Victoria of England, and when he came to England, he brought the tradition of the Christmas tree with him, and it rapidly spread throughout the country. In 1848, the first American newspaper carried a picture of a Christmas tree, and the custom quickly spread to just about every home in a matter of years. Which brings us to the present, and the tree that you likely have in your home, even if it's pink, fake, and decorated in a lot of silver tinsel. No disrespect meant there. A tradition, indeed. Imagine how much quicker the spread of Christmas trees could have been with today's electronic media. What about Christmas cards? It's a strong staple of Christmas for most people to give and receive cards at this time of year. This actually came to us from England during the mid-1800s, and specifically from an Englishman named John Calcott Horsley. Horsley began producing small cards featuring festive scenes and a pre-written holiday greeting in the late 1830s. Post offices had started to become very efficient during this time in both England and the United States, and this helped to make the cards an overnight success. Other card makers sprung up across Europe and the United States fairly quickly after that, following on Horsley's success. One wonders what Mr. Horsley would say if he could see the sheer number of cards and companies today, not to mention the online electronic cards we have available to us. Is another one of your traditions the hanging of stockings? In the United States, it's common for kids to hang stockings on their bedpost, on a stairwell, or near a fireplace on Christmas Eve, hoping for it to be filled with treats and small gifts while they sleep. This tradition can be traced to legends about St. Nicholas. One legend has it that three poor sisters could not marry because they had no money for a dowry. As such, they were in danger of being sold by their father. To keep this from happening, St. Nick left each of the sisters gifts of gold coins which went, you guessed it, into their stockings or shoes, depending on the telling of the story. Our own kids would probably be delighted to know that they are being spared the agony of being sold off through receiving gifts in their stockings. Who am I kidding? Probably not. They'll still just want to know where the batteries are at. One thing around here everyone hopes for is a white Christmas, which, as I say these words and tape this episode, may or may not happen this year, as there is rain and warm weather in the forecast on the heels of fresh snow. However, at least the temperatures are still colder, and we can hold to the hope of snow. I used to have a pen pal in Australia. Over there, Christmas comes in the middle of summer, and it's not unusual, at least for her part of Australia, for Christmas temperatures to be hovering around 100 degrees or more. Try coming up with a white Christmas in that. Christmas steam bath? Just go stand outside. Remember to take a tub of water and a towel. No, during Australian Christmas time, trips to the beach and outdoor barbecues are the norm. I could go on and on with more traditions, but I'll stop there and trouble you no more today. In case you're wondering, well, what did this really have to do with the outdoors? Well, I'll admit the tie was somewhat tenuous today. I did mention hunting and fishing over in the Scandinavian countries, and there was mention of coniferous trees, so there was a little bit of nature in there, just not a whole lot. Well, whatever traditions are a part of your Christmas, I hope they go well and bring you great joy. On behalf of all of us at Togiak National Wildlife Refuge, Merry Christmas. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.